Good morning.
As I come up here and I get nervous, I think of what a privilege it is to come to a church where we're not persecuted and we don't have to meet in private and we don't have to be hidden or secretive about our faith in Jesus. I know I get, it's like I finally get a 2-week break from preaching and then it's like the reset on the nervous button. My heart's fluttering this morning and I don't know why. I've got two bits of good news. Jesus saves. And this is the shortest sermon I've ever written. Yeah, so I know we're probably all tired from last night. We were here serving and eating and whatever else we were doing. And we ain't going to be in here much longer. I promise you this. I struggled this week to write. I only highlighted 5 verses, so we're only covering 5 verses when I've been reading huge chunks of Scripture. So no excuse to fall asleep today because we're only going to be in here for about 15 minutes, okay? Not the time. Yeah, we're going to have a really long invitation. Everybody's going to come forward and do backflips. I don't know what's going to happen, but no, to forecast what we're going to do for the next little while, we're going to survey the book of John. I'm just going to pick me and Will and what's that other fellow's name, Jeff, are going to pick some highlights of the book of John so that we don't get stuck in there for the next 2 years. But for the next year, I want to study John. So that would be the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and as much as I don't want to do this, Revelation. Yeah, so you might end up finding a new church. I don't know. By the time I preach anything out of Revelation, we might all be scared to death. But that's okay. So John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Christ is eternally divine. That's another bit of good news this morning. Christ is divine. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we all believe in this room this morning that You were in creation since the beginning, Jesus. You're not God's backup plan. You have been His plan all along. I pray that truth is deeply rooted in our hearts, and I pray that that truth would drive everything about our lives, the way we go to work, the way we love our family, the way we love our neighbors, the way we love our church family, the way we love strangers. This truth that You are eternal and You have been the plan for salvation and the plan for creation since the very beginning should deeply affect our lives. And Lord, I pray that if it hasn't affected anybody up to this point, that would change in this room today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's one thing that screams out from these first 5 passages, or these first 5 verses, that Christ is eternally divine. Let's repeat that. Christ is eternally divine.
Christ is eternally divine.
Yes, Christ is eternally divine. That means He has been God since the beginning, will continue to be God throughout all of the ages, as He has thus far. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The second person of the Trinity always existed. Jesus was not God's backup plan. Joe Flacco is the Bengals' backup plan. Jesus was not God's backup plan. When in John chapter 8, verse 58, Josh, I didn't give you any of these verses today except for the main one. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And when Jesus says truly, truly, which He says a bunch, He means business. He's saying, listen to this, pay attention to this. This is the truth. I want you all to hear this. Truly, truly, Jesus was God's plan from the very beginning. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This is a beautiful thought. Jesus was with God in the beginning, and He was God in the beginning. The true beauty of the gospel is that Jesus left where he was. He left the presence of God the Father to come back to us, or to come to us initially as God and man, to live and die on the cross and to rise from the dead and go back to the Father. He left his perfect seat. He had the perfect place in creation. He was seated with God, and he came, instead of staying there, he came to us, which was God's plan from the beginning. He left the perfect seat at God's hand to dwell among us. He willingly gave up his heavenly status, taking the form of man, and became subject to his death on the cross. Now, if you go to the book of Isaiah, you can read all this prophecy, and I'm not going to do that today. Remember, I said I'm going to keep it short, but feel free to jump into the book of Isaiah and read how Jesus fulfilled all of this prophecy. It's abundantly clear throughout the Old Testament that Jesus has been the game plan from the jump. He's been the plan from the beginning, and you can read about that in Isaiah. But in John 17, Jesus prayed to the Father before he was betrayed by Judas. John chapter 17, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." Here's the important verse in this. "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." He's been there the whole time. It wasn't a backup plan. He didn't send Jesus because nothing else worked out. He sent Jesus because that's what he wanted to do from the very start. Jesus was in the beginning with God. Jesus was sent from heaven to dwell among us. He is again seated at the right hand of the Father, and now in this season of life, we patiently await for his final return. And we'll get to that in the book of Revelation, who knows when, in the year of 2026, if we make it that far. My plan for the rest of 2025 and 2026, again, I want to study the author John. I want to study Jesus through the author John, the Gospel of John, 1, 2, and 3 John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. The Gospel of John is John's retelling of Jesus' life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. The Gospel of John discusses some major themes: the divinity of Christ, justification by faith, the work of Christ, and the work of Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the privileges that believers have because of their faith. So we've already said it this morning. The divinity of Christ is covered in the first five verses. Jesus is God, and he has always been God, and he always will be God. "In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God." Again, Jesus was God the Father's real plan from the beginning. If God the Father knows everything, he knew that Adam and Eve would sin and separate humanity from true communion with God. God knew from the very beginning that he would send Jesus to earth to redeem us. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Jesus himself is saying that he was in the beginning and will be in the end. He always was and always is the most important being. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything in creation was created in Christ and for Christ, because of Christ, for the glory of Christ. I'll say that again. Everything in creation was created in Christ and for Christ, because of Christ, for the glory of Christ. So somebody asked this, I might go longer if I start telling stories up here. Somebody asked the question for our Wednesday night service, isn't God supposed to be a humble God? If so, why does he consistently ask us to praise him? Because all of creation is for him. That's why. We are His creation. So we are to praise Him with our lives. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So as Christians, Jesus is our primary source of life. Water, we have to have water to survive, but who made the water? Air is not our primary source of life. Jesus is our primary source of life. We have to have air to breathe. Who created the air? Jesus is our primary source of life. Without Him, there would be nothing else. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father's house except through me. So if Jesus is our primary source of life, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, if Jesus was in the beginning with God and was God and all things were made through Him and without Him nothing was made, if we have staked our claim on the gospel or it has staked its claim on us, our lives should look and feel and be dramatically different than this dark world. Jesus has selected us, of all people, us, to be disciple makers to the world. He left us with a great commission and a great commandment. We are to go to all the nations and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission. Those are Jesus' words. I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Here's what you are to do. Go and make disciples of all the nations, starting with the one that you live in. Once you fulfill that, go somewhere else and do it. Good luck. There's a lot of work to be done. And the great commandment is that we are to love God and love our neighbor. Now, we live in a dark time, and it seems like many people are depressed. It seems to me like many people are anxious, and I even feel these emotions within myself. And these aren't emotions that I choose. I don't want these things. And neither does anybody else that's suffering with depression or anxiety. But for some reason, these things build up in us. But we aren't to stay in our anxiety-ridden depression. We are to shine the light of Christ into the darkness and cast out the demons of anxiety and depression in the lives of those around us. Also, we are to worship God. We are to worship Jesus through our anxiety and our depression. So even when our circumstances are bad, even when we don't feel good, even when we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, even when there's a lot of suffering around us, we worship. What did I just say? Even when what? What did I just say? What did I say? Somebody fix that. Say it louder. Thank you. I just blacked out. I really just wanted to make sure I didn't say something stupid. Yes, there is a lot of suffering. There really is a lot of, you all are suffering having to listen to me every Sunday. Trust me. But there really is a lot of suffering. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of just burden. All these bills, all this work, all this stuff. It's just hard. Life is hard. It feels like you're crawling through mud backwards sometimes. And it's just tiring. And we have to worship Jesus through that. Not only do we have to worship Jesus through that, we are able to worship Jesus through that. We should worship Jesus through that. Don't see this life as a burden. See it as a path that we are on for a little bitty while. Eternity is as big as, it's way bigger than this room, but imagine eternity as big as this room and your life is a speck of dust floating around that you can't even see. You know, I don't want to say that we're not important because we are, but think about that perspective. So you suffer for this long to be in glory forever. Pick your head up a little bit. Stick your chest out and carry on. Shine the light of the gospel when you don't feel good and things aren't going your way and evil's happening all around you and you're anxious and you're depressed. Glorify God in the mess. We are to make disciples and love our neighbor as believers. Regarding the truth of the word today, I want to ask these questions. If we know that Jesus was God's plan from the beginning, if we know that Jesus is our primary source of life, if we know that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega and the great I Am, How has your life been changed by the great I Am? Has your life been changed by the great I Am? Jesus does have expectations of us. He has expectations of us in the Word. I'm going to summarize big chunks here. These are the ways in which Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, expects us to live. He wants us to love God fully. He wants us to love Him fully. That is, with everything in you. He wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. Here's a hard one. He wants you to love your enemies and pray for them and forgive them. He wants you to repent or turn from your sins. He wants you to follow Him. He expects you to follow Him through the study of His Word. I promise you, if you don't read the book and this depression hits, this anxiety hits, this evil strikes, this bad stuff starts happening to your people, you are not going to see the light in these situations. Without the study of the Word of God, you won't see it. He wants you to study the Word. He wants you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that comes through the study of the Word. That comes through gathering in groups in the local church, which we're doing right this moment. He does not want you to fear or be anxious. How many times does He say, do not fear? I think 365 times, one for every day. That's a little Christian cliche. I've never gone through and counted, but 365 times, allegedly, the book says, do not fear. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. Pray all the time. The Word is clear about that. Don't judge hypocritically. Treat the poor and needy with compassion. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Live for eternity. Share the gospel and take it to the ends of the earth. Shine the light of Christ for all to see. Live a humble life. That's a tough one. Keep watch. Here's the Revelation one. Keep watch and patiently await the return of Christ. So, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was the plan. Jesus was the plan from the very start. If you are saved, Jesus has loving and trustworthy expectations of your life. I just read 15 ways in which you can live for Christ. And not only can you live this way, Jesus' expectation is that you would. That you would love God fully, that you would not judge hypocritically, that you wouldn't store up treasures in heaven, that you would live a humble life, that you would shine the light of Christ for all to see, that you would share the gospel, take it to the ends of the earth, that you would treat the poor and needy with compassion, that you would lovingly hold your neighbor's hand when they're suffering, when they're going through a trial, when they're going through anxiety, when they're going through depression, even when it's inconvenient, even when you have other stuff to do, even if you have to skip a soccer game, even if you have to take them with you to a soccer game, even if whatever we are to live, if Jesus is our primary source of life, we should sacrifice our entire lives for His sake. Now, does that mean you need to quit your job, sell your house, and give all your money to the poor? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. What's your conviction? I don't know. I did sell my house, and I didn't give all my money to the poor. I give some of it to the poor, and I did move here to pastor this church. I didn't just do that so that I would feel good about myself. I did that because I read the book, and I believed it, and I believe that I can make more disciples here than I was making back home. And this isn't about me. I'm just saying God has expectations for our lives, and if we have been changed by Him, which I believe that I have deeply been changed by Him, He wants us to go and do stuff. And that stuff is to go and make disciples and to live a humble life and to not complain and to pray in all things and not to walk around anxious and depressed. But for a season, we might be that way and we worship Him through it anyways. Amen? So the key to the story here today is Jesus is our source of life. And it should be evidently and abundantly clear in our lives, if we consider Him our primary life source, that everything we do should scream His name. Amen? So if you're not currently living that way, check yourself. Look in the mirror and say, I do believe that Jesus has been around since the beginning. I do believe that He has changed me. I do believe that He's put the Holy Spirit in me. I may or may not believe that I'm showing that to the world around me. If that's you, repent of your sin. That's another thing He says. Turn from your sin and turn towards Him. That's not a one-time thing. That's a daily endeavor. Every single day we turn from our sin and turn towards God. We might be straying from Him for months and months and months. If you're still breathing air, you can still turn from your sin and turn back towards God. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That should be the life fuel for you. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we really actually analyze where we stand with You this morning. I pray that we cast out all of our anxieties, all the burdens of our life. We all have them. We all know people that are ill. We might be ill ourselves. We all have bills to pay. We all have jobs to do. Lord, I pray that we embrace what You've given us. And rather than see these things as a burden, to see all of these things as a gift from You. The biggest gift of all is that we only have to deal with these things that we consider burdens for a real short amount of time. And if we have faith in You, we get to be with You in perfection forever. We are just a speck of dust floating around a rock that's spinning in the cosmos, which You created. You created every speck of dust, every drop of blood, every eyeball in this room You have created. And You have called us to live for You. So I pray that we do that. I pray that we are able to look in the mirror and really assess and analyze where we stand with You and make a change if we need to. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.